It's a new week of drafts here on Splash Play, of course. A little bit of a slow time right now, but some rumors and innuendo in particular around J.J. McCarthy's betting odds have moved about 600 points in terms of what's going on in terms of the markets out there. So let's talk about that. I am already in a draft room, and it seems like there's a little bit of a delay getting this room to fill, and I guess it was because everybody wanted to get in our pal Pete Overzet's room, and I am now in it. Pete's drafting the one hole in this one. I'll be drafting in the three hole. And of course, a lot of regulars in this one as a result of Pete streaming at the same time here. Of course, I think Pete and I are reuniting this Saturday here for the Make Good show, where we will be doing a Splash Play stream that a best ball after dark together. I have to confirm with Pete, though. But that's what it's looking like this week. And I guess we're getting a taste of that bright and early on with him in the one hole, me in the three hole. Long weekend here. I am starting very slow today, so I apologize for a little bit of a delay on the start time. A, had some tech issues. Even my Logitech, the thing that I used to put the video through to get it on stream, did not want to work today. I didn't want to work today either because I was very busy all weekend, exhausted. We're going to dig into it here, and let's get going with pick number three here. Obviously, a good spot to go with a wide receiver. If I wanted to reach out for Bijan, I could, but that really doesn't speak the most to me. I think it's going to be a Tyreek Hill day. I feel like Miami getting less sexy. As I've talked about on stream, I'm not the biggest fan of trying to draft a guy like Tua Tagovailoa, a QB who we know tied to a good offense, but still not somebody that lacks or that has the actual upside for himself to beat out many of the QBs going ahead of him, let alone some of the other guys in his range. So we'll take Tyreek here, but I am not necessarily going to go Tua's way unless it's at a nice price tag. And frankly, too, like even Waddle, I don't really want to be there. I think I'm okay making a room here or making a run with just Tyreek. Yes, me and Pete together again while he gets all the views. I'm just here struggling. But yeah, wanted to take a mental health day today. I still have to do the probably video, but basically Saturday was at WrestleMania. Saturday was also doing work the entire afternoon because as we talked about, we're fundraising. And unfortunately, a lot of that time, that means that I have to reply to things on like a Saturday, on a Sunday, which is pretty tough for me. But that's where we're at right now in terms of probably's business. And then, of course, for Underdog, I feel like right now, it's the NFL. There's not a lot of exciting things going on. I was personally more excited. WrestleMania, of course, went there on Saturday night. Yesterday, the big main event, really the big culmination of years of storytelling for WWE. So it was a very exciting pro wrestling weekend. And also college basketball. Caitlin Clark was a big thing. I was watching that in the afternoon as well. So lots of fun things this weekend that, frankly, were not football. So different little situation for me here. I got to get my mind back into football mode when I'm normally just looking at everything football related, obsessed with it. It's a different situation here for me today. So I got Bindles here. Keep grinding, Spag. Smash that like. Yes, Bindles says it. It must be true. Of course, check out Bindles' own work as well on his YouTube channel. Appreciate that. Thank you, Adam. My boss, Adam, has allowed me to take the day off. It's more about the principle showing up every day. Like I've said before, like there's gonna be days where I'm probably, you know, subconsciously in grumpy moods. There's gonna be days where I don't want to do it, but I do think showing up and doing the work here every day is the important part. Monday to Friday is 11 a.m. And yeah, you know, frankly, for me, I know how to balance things as best I can. We're on the clock here though, 0-0-1-0. We have the two potential Houston Texans here. Stephon Diggs ADP coming up, Nico moving down. I'm gonna go Diggs for this one. As I've talked about enough times here, I am more of a Diggs believer than I am a Nico Collins believer. Perfectly okay getting both, but I think Nico should be the one pushing towards the low 20s, if not early 30s. I think Diggs should be at the 1-2 turn, if it were up to me. But we do see Nico Collins going the pick right after here for GWB. Christopher's in here. I'm here with you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Snatch Catchers has been many of our draft rooms. He's here at number 12. And again, we got Copper Prices too. Copper Price is more of a Pete regular. I feel like he's been in every Pete draft I have seen stream, but has formerly been a regular Splash Play, regular on Splash Play, or a regular Splash Play regular is what I was going to say first, because my brain function is not all the way there. All right, we got Tyreek and Diggs here. Tank moving down in ADP in a very serious way. Josh Allen at pick 27 doesn't do a whole lot for me. Malik Nabers went already. One of the guys I'll come up and get. Really bad teams linked to him, though, so far. He's got top 30 visits with every team you don't want him to go to. I think I'm going to take a rare Mike Evans here. I feel like normally, again, this would be a spot where I go up and get Malik Nabers. For me, Mike Evans, perfectly fine play. Tampa Bay, probably one of the more consistent situations. You're losing Dave Canales, but you learned a lot as a team last year in terms of how to handle Baker Mayfield. I would hope that they're going to bring a lot of those principles back this year. Baker, of course, better deep ball thrower, not really a timing QB. A guy is going to have the best success holding onto the ball a little bit longer in the pocket, getting it downfield with some accuracy. So for Mike Evans, I think the situation's the same. Besides him being a year older, besides, you know, Tampa Bay not sneaking up on anybody this year, I think those are the two things they had going for them last year. Where Tampa Bay, as I talked about on stream, I kind of thought they could end up being like the Cardinals, a team that wasn't playing for much, and if anything, you know, might have the motivation to not play down the stretch, might have the motivation to tank for a better pick. Instead, what happened is Tampa Bay made the playoffs and had probably one of the better runs. I would say Green Bay, a little more impressive in terms of what you're looking for in the future. But Tampa Bay hung in there, advanced around. So I think for them, I want to buy in one more year. But I would say out of all these players, a little bit of an older wide receiver room here, definitely more vets with Tyreek, Stephon Diggs, and Mike Evans. But the Miami situation, we know it's going to be good in the regular season, if not in the playoffs. Diggs, again, just a believer in the Texans offense being better with Diggs and Diggs himself being better. Contract year for him now as a result of the modifications they made in his deal. So that's a good thing for Diggs. And for Mike Evans, you know, he just got paid enough, and this is his seemingly going to be his last team. So that's pretty cool for him. Jacobs, hardest to click for me based on his ADP. Don't like Josh Jacobs in the spot. I personally could do Jacobs. I'm a running back in the third round just doesn't do it for me overall. If I'm taking a running back, I want it to be one of the first round guys. Like I've talked about enough times on here. The top seven for me are all pretty good. Saquon, you know, really getting there mostly because of the contract, going to the Eagles and all of that. But the top seven running backs I like. Beyond that, I think you're kind of paying a premium price tag on guys who are a little bit more similar to me. Jacobs, similar to Derrick Henry. Travis Etienne, I'm just not the biggest fan of. So to me, it's either top seven or bust or running back. But I think Jacobs does well in this Green Bay offense. I'm a big believer in Jordan Love's improvement, like we talked about enough on the stream last year. He did make some strides after all the things that were killing him in the first half of the season, not being able to handle pressure as well. Figured that out both in the film level, guys out there like Brett Coleman, like the QB school guys, talking about Jordan Love improving. But the data is the most important part to me. You see Jordan Love's numbers start to tick upwards. And of course, he had his best run in the playoffs. So I could buy into Jacobs. It's just, I don't know. I should buy into Jacobs because I do like Green Bay. We have a 0-0-3-0 here. Rashad White, one of my least favorite running backs at this spot. Trey McBride, I'm pretty okay with. I guess Rashad White, the one credit going his way, that would be a Tampa Bay correlation. But I'd rather have the elite tight end. I'd rather have Trey McBride. And I kind of think with these guys here, I know Pete loves a good elite tight end. Don't think Trey McBride would be coming back my way. So we will go Trey McBride here. 0-0-3-1 start, a 0 RB start for me. Time to up my James Cook exposure if he falls to me. He didn't hear, but yeah, I guess. Still, you know, fundamentally just not the biggest fan of round three, round four running backs. Just, I guess I've kind of made that point already as it relates to Josh Jacobs. I just feel like to me, it's like the half measure. I was talking about that Breaking Bad, one of my favorite shows. Mike Ehrmantraut on there talks about the concept of half measures, how you don't want to do something halfway because it'll just end up getting half results, or in his case, children dying as a cop or whatever the case was. So maybe not the most perfect analogy for fantasy football, but I think taking a third, fourth round running back to me is kind of a half measure where I'd rather be loading up on receivers, or I'd rather have a running back a little bit earlier in that first two rounds. So that's mostly how I feel about these guys, but Rashad White, obviously, I feel the least good about. I would rather have Cooks, would rather not have ATN. On the clock here, though, all right, Rashad White's still here. This guy goes up and gets CJ Stroud because CJ Stroud, one of the frothiest picks in any draft room right now. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Pacheco. I do like Mixon more in the fifth round than I do some of those third round guys. I'm just never going to take Rashad White, so I'll take Rashad White here. We have the Tampa Bay correlation. I'm not a believer in him. Really think the Tampa Bay at the end of the year showed enough signal with not using him in the way that he's going to have his biggest upside. If Rashad White's not getting you 5 to 10 targets in terms of that upside being outcome, that was where he had his biggest gains last year, was he was being used as a safety valve for checkdowns for Tampa Bay for Baker Mayfield. He didn't get used that way as much. They are working in Chase Edmonds. I think they're live to take any pass-catching running back in this draft. If they get Dylan Labbe, it's going to be a much worse situation for Rashad White, which sounds crazy, but like Labbe's a dedicated pass-catching running back. Rashad White's a pass-catching running back just because they had nobody else to do the job. And when they had other people to do the job, they wanted to try them out. So I think for Rashad White, to me, I'm taking him because I have the Evans correlation, and it's at pick 51, but I don't like that pick very much. Seen Stroud fall a decent amount lately. Okay, well, not in any room I've been in. Most undervalued handcuff running backs, or teams you want to guess right. I'd rather not even handcuff. I really think handcuffs are a thing that you're not trying to target too much. It's not worked for me the last 2 years. Year before last, went with Nyheim Hines as a handcuff to Jonathan Taylor. Taylor actually gets hurt. Nyheim Hines then doesn't get the run out that he's looking for. Has one game where he's the lead back, doesn't play well, gets traded. Last year, Eli Mitchell would be, I would think, the premium handcuff. He's hurt again most of last year. Not like Jordan Mason did anything for you either. It was all McCaffrey getting the work. I think handcuffs are a mistake. Ambiguous backfields are things you want to target more. So, like, I'd rather have a Miles Sanders in an ambiguous backfield with a new coaching staff than I'd rather have Eli Mitchell, where he's going to get the work if McCaffrey gets hurt, but you need McCaffrey to get hurt and then be out long enough, and then it has to all go right where Mitchell's healthy and is effective and all that. You're asking for a lot of things, whereas a guy in the rotation just winning over a new coaching staff, it's a much smaller ask. So I think that's what I would try to go for. Less about handcuffs, more about ambiguous backfields. Well, it does feel like if they bring in a Lloyd or something, he'll lose touches. I mean, they had fucking what's-his-face, who everybody liked last year, Sean Tucker. And I was not a Sean Tucker guy. He wasn't talented enough to win the role. But if you have a good version of Sean Tucker coming in, I think that is not going to be a great thing for people there. I am going to scoop the Calvin Ridley value here. I think this being a Pete room, I feel like older wide receivers maybe not doing as well. Still think that you should take Hopkins in front of Ridley, even though the ADPs do not say that. But Ridley, downfield target, got the big money here. And Tennessee, very committed. Tennessee, a team bringing in Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers, a team that I was talking about earlier that he's visiting with that I don't like. Linked to the Jets would not be great for him, I think. Would really be bad for Garrett Wilson. Linked to the Bears, which doesn't make the most sense, but the Bears are bringing in every top offensive prospect because they have that number 9 pick, and it's possible that one of these guys falls to them. And it does seem, you know, they brought in Bowers, they brought in Odunze, they brought in Nabers. Feels like the Bears might be live to take a wide receiver 3, which would kind of upset things with where DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are going. And what was the third one from Malik Nabers? I feel like there was another team. I know the Titans have been linked historically. Giants have been linked historically. There's really nobody fun who's been linked to Malik Nabers, which worries me because he's probably the most fun wide receiver in the draft. All right. Pete here going to another tight end, doing some interesting things for himself. Not zero RB. He took McCaffrey, but... All right, Pete getting outside the box a little bit there. 0141 for me. None of these QBs correlate for me right now. And I think I see the opportunity to do what Pete just did and really slam home tight end. I'm taking our boy Brock Bowers. Team so far, let's give it a read. 0142, Rashad White, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley, Trey McBride, Brock Bowers at tight end. Seems like to me with the teams, I'm noticing a trend for myself. And of course, if you are drafting teams, you have to be aware of your own biases. I'm either taking 2 really good tight ends or I'm taking 3 awful tight ends. And I feel like I'm not doing a lot in between for my portfolio for the most part this year. On Friday's video, one of my better drafted teams, according to a lot of you guys in the comments, was a team where I took Kelsey, took Jake Ferguson. That team worked out well with Dak and also having Patrick Mahomes on that one. For this build here, we don't have the QBs, but we do have 2 elite tight ends. So we're doing it. You lock up the tight end room. Love it. I think that's it. Pete said he hates late tight ends. I think I like the late tight ends a lot. So that's the difference with us. That's why I guess I move it around a little bit more. But yeah, I think to me, I think you can make it work with a lot of different configurations of tight end. Last year, as I mentioned, had a lot of my portfolios were late tight end focused. So to me, I'm very happy to do that. Snatch catcher takes Kyler Murray here, presumably for the theoretical correlation with Marvin Harrison. Would have loved to have gotten Murray back at pick 94, but I think that's an unreasonable expectation. Kyler getting steamed up boards. Kyler also, I feel like a lot of the casual kind of season-long drafters really talking up Kyler a little bit more in terms of guys that everybody loves Kyler. Kyler is a very public player. As you talked about, there are some people that the public, I feel like, just has biases on because they were good in the past. Antonio Gibson, who talked about being one extreme. Marquise Brown being another one where his ADP instantly rose up the second there was any sign of life for him signing somewhere good, especially when he goes to Kansas City. For Kyler, I think he's kind of the QB version of that, where people just have been playing him for 5 years, have a lot of confidence in him, and now they're excited to reach for him if they can get him. All right, pick coming up here. See what we can do. Definitely live for some late tight end play, or late QB play, excuse me, especially some of the guys we've drafted, but we'll see what we do. Might be a 3 QB build out of necessity because we are in the range where a Baker would make sense at some point, a Levis would make sense at some point with the bet we have on Ridley. Brock Bowers also live to go to Tennessee perhaps. So lots to go on. All right. Really good run for tight ends, man. Really not a bad pocket to go picking tight ends in this room. Nothing I'm seeing that I want to correlate with. Wouldn't hate, I guess, a shot at Mike Williams occasionally. I'd rather lock up running back a little bit more. As we've talked about enough times, running back is going to get gross. We're going to take our second running back here. A little more confidence, as I've talked about enough in the big board, that you can manage wide receiver pockets a little bit later on. I think when we get to BBM, you know where every player is going. I think that vulnerability, that loophole is going to go away at some point, where you are going to eventually have to really get wide receiver in that first 125 picks and basically lock the position then. I still want to get five guys in the top 100 if I can, but in general right now, we can grab a lad a little bit later. We can grab a Leggett. We can grab my guy, Brendan Rice, who's visited with every team in the NFL. He's going to go somewhere, I think, and have a real shot to be productive. Of course, those are guys we can talk about. Franklin coming up a little bit, we can grab him. There's ways to work wide receiver that I think are not dependent on getting everybody in the top 100, so that's what I'm not going to be doing today. Draft going by fast. Good. Good. I love a fast draft. I'm happy to do it. All right. Pete gets my guy, Brian Robinson Jr. for himself. We have a 0-2-4-2 here. Wide receiver not bad right now. Never take Eckler. And Pete kind of forced my hand by taking Brian Robinson. So I'll take a share of Austin Eckler. Again, the assumption for Eckler is that he is most likely the pass down back, which doesn't do a whole lot for me necessarily. The goal line back role, I think, is be more valuable. Though, again, if we do see J.J. McCarthy going to Washington, I think that opens up a little more opportunity than if it were Jaden Daniels. But I still think the correct assumption is Jaden Daniels going number two. I think we're getting smokescreened by the J.J. McCarthy stuff a little bit right now, where teams want you to think he's good, like they're willing to take him there. Hey, trade up if you got to get him kind of thing. I don't know, man. I just don't buy McCarthy going number two overall. If he goes over Jaden Daniels, that's a really big mistake, I think, in personal evaluation and personnel evaluation as well. Whereas I think I could see McCarthy over Drake May, because as we talked about, Drake May is inaccurate. Drake May has some flaws. If you are a timing-based coach, I probably don't want Drake May. If I'm a coach that wants my QB to hold on to the ball and take a shot downfield, I want to take the shot on Drake May that I can improve him. But I just don't think that McCarthy should go over Jaden Daniels. And if Washington does that, I think it's going to be one of the biggest mistakes in the draft that people will look back on and go, like, that's a Greg Oden over Kevin Durant kind of thing. That's a Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan kind of thing. That's how I view it. But, you know, people will view it differently. Browns going to be different this year. Trust me. I think there's not a logical case for the Browns to be better this year. The defense is going to regress. Defense is one of the least sticky things year to year. That's something I'd expect to come back down to earth. They're not going to be a world beater defense. And then if you have Deshaun's got to play at least up to Joe Flacco standards, and he was not doing that last year. So I think it's more likely the Browns could be going the wrong way. I like the coaching there. First time the coaching and the front office there getting extended contracts under Jimmy Haslam's regime. I think it's a positive sign. But I do think that for Cleveland, I kind of expect them to come back down to earth. I think they got very lucky last year. How many drafts total I get into in a season? Last year, I was over 1,000, I think, across DraftKings and Underdog and Drafters. This year, I presume, will be a little bit higher because I'm doing drafts every day. But I'm also going to do less of the small tournaments, so I'm not really sure. But I imagine around 1,000 will probably be it again this year. All right, picks coming up here. Nothing correlation-wise for me at QB that I have to get at this point. Can start to make wide receiver better with some guys here. I don't think Ladd McConkey would be a bad wide receiver five, and I'm going to go that route. I'm going to take Ladd McConkey here. Shout out our guy, Adam. Of course, one of the earliest and most sycophantic for Ladd McConkey, but in this kind of build, Ladd McConkey, I think, being a guy who, as we talked about, managing wide receiver pockets a little bit later on, he is somebody that can get a good landing spot. He is somebody as well that can hurt one of our guys. I guess maybe not in this build, but like I think he can go to Washington and kind of hurt Terry McLaurin. Definitely could hurt a Jahan Dotson there. He can go, I guess he can't go to Houston at this point. Could he go to Tampa Bay and take meaningful targets away from Chris Godwin there and be like a better version of what they wanted from Russell Gage? Maybe. Ladd could go in a lot of different spots and I think have some upside. So, or not even maybe upside for him, but the ability to kind of hurt the guys in a wide receiver core with him because he is talented enough. Not a great target earner, but I think he's going to take some valuable targets away. We'll see. He was really bad though, man. I wouldn't look at win rate for that. He was one of the least good analytics QBs in football. Here, I'm gonna pull up the numbers real fast just to make the point. Deshaun last year, trying to make sure I'm not missing my pick. But it is important, like, you can't just go off your vibes. Negative 0.2 EPA per pass for Deshaun Watson is pretty bad. About 2x as bad as a Trevor Lawrence was last year. Negative 0.21 EPA per drop or per pass would also be neck and neck with Josh Dobbs, which is not where you want your multiple hundreds of million dollars QB to be. So that's not great. All right. 0.352 here. God, this is not my favorite pocket. I think I need to shore myself up at QB. I'm going to take Jaden Daniels. Because we're going to likely take two later QBs here. I would like to have a floor at the position. Jaden does not correlate with anything at this point. I guess maybe Washington lad. If Jaden doesn't go two to Washington, I got to say, I don't know where he goes. If he doesn't go two to Washington, or I guess the Patriots are the ones most being linked to J.J. McCarthy right now, I guess Jaden could fall if somehow Washington took Drake May or something, which I don't think is most likely. I think Washington takes Jaden Daniels most likely. Second most likely outcome would be them taking J.J. McCarthy and just throwing everybody a curveball, which would be fair based on the betting odds right now. But Jaden, to me, shoring up the position, and I guess I'm hoping that he goes somewhere we have correlation, but I'm not going to try to sweat it. Besides Deshaun last year, what else? Deshaun's on target rate, 62%. Very bad for comparison's sake. Bryce Young is at 61% per drop back, where Deshaun should have a little bit more value. Deshaun a negative 0.15 EPA per drop back as well. So not good there, even with the running. When he was pressured, Deshaun was really bad as well. Negative 0.74 EPA on those plays. Also a 1% touchdown rate on pressure plays is also pretty bad. Downfield, he did have a positive EPA downfield, but a 0.2 EPA on throws of 20 plus air yards is not good. Point being, for Deshaun, I guess the one thing you could say that looks okay for him is he was a slightly positive EPA rusher, but only ran 4.3 times a game. Good for a 0.2 EPA there. But there's nothing you could point to for Deshaun and go like, he got unlucky. He didn't get unlucky. He's probably one of the worst visual QBs in football. I talked about before, one of the worst plays in football last year was Deshaun at one point in a Browns game, trying to get the ball downfield. He evades a tackle, gets confused, and throws the ball backwards. It was one of the worst plays in football that occurred last year. So I don't know, man. Sorry, Jay. Look, this is what you are a member here for, is for me to fact check stuff for you. And we can't go off vibes only. You got to look at the numbers, and the numbers do not look good for old Deshaun. Great guy, though, I'm sure. All right. 1.352 here. Ugh. Not my favorite pocket. I'm just going to grab some undervalued rookies at this point. I would rather have Leggett than Keon Coleman. I think he is a better play. Quentin Johnson, Josh Palmer. I don't know. I'm scrolling down, though. I'm getting Xavier Leggett as my wide receiver 6. Got one more pick coming up here, team. So far, Jaden Daniels, Rashad White, Javonte Williams, Austin Eckler, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett, tight end Trey McBride, Brock Bowers. We're getting bled out at running back is the one part that is a flaw right now, but that's it. To be clear, this was the joke, Charles. This was the joke. Not actually a great guy, but yes, I suppose a good guy for local business as long as you are just willing to take the money and the PTSD and ignore everything else. All right, pick coming up here, guys. If you are watching live or after the fact, please hit that like button. Please subscribe. Of course, on Mondays, we're competing against the Pete Overs at Juggernaut, my podcast pal here. We still could use your support here. Hit that like button. Of course, every like helps us out here, gets seen by more people. And as this is one of my two jobs, I do this in my sports betting app probably. Your support does matter a lot more here and go along for a lot further here than it does on other channels. So obviously, any creator you like, hit the like button, helps them out. But for me in particular, the likes help out a bunch because we put on good shows here every day, and being seen by more people is always the goal. More people, more money, more content to make. That's the dream. Do I try to push Baker down? I think I am gonna, and hope that he just comes all the way back around because we need running back help, and Marshawn Lloyd is our running back help. A 1.462 here is what we have so far. We need at least two more running backs. Braylon Allen working out with Derrick Henry was a thing that broke the end of last week. Derrick Henry also. Braylon Allen's a large man. Derrick Henry, wide. I have to say, I don't want to, go throwing out slings and arrows. I feel like I've pretty good identifying guys using PEDs because I've been a pro wrestling fan for my entire life, and I've been there enough and even worked there for a year and a half. I really feel like Derrick Henry's on PEDs. this is me, of course. I'm not an expert. Don't sue me, Derrick Henry. But like, he's got the shoulder boulders like that are a big time sign of something. If nothing else, I think he's taken some tests at this point. But look, if you're investing in Derrick Henry, a positive thing. But if you look at the video or look at the photo, I'll see if I could find it on Twitter. If somebody has it in the chat, link it, I guess, if you can. He looks enormous in a way that I don't think is a real thing. That's all I'm going to say. Hold on. Let me see if I can find this photo. But it did go viral on Twitter over the weekend. Okay, it's not on Google Images. Oh, here it is. Got it on Google Images. Okay. Here, let me change screens real fast so we can all go, hey, Spags, you're correct, accusing Derrick Henry of performance-enhancing drugs. So, like, in particular, the shoulders, the traps, like, Braylon Allen, again, a big man, jacked, but does not have the same thing. If you could show me Derrick Henry's lats, I would feel even more confident. But I really think that Derrick Henry, again, if you're invested in him, he's doing everything he can. Maybe don't be shocked if he gets popped for something. I don't think he'll get popped. He'll probably fucking, guys have enough ways to work around that stuff. But, like, I saw that and was like, holy shit, man. Henry's saucy. Now we're talking about Diddy. Braylon Allen's a Cowboys fallback option. Perhaps. What about Braylon Allen at age 17? I don't know. The testing for kids, high school age kids is not great. I would assume that they, get spooked off enough, but he's jacked. But again, he doesn't have, it's this, it's in here. It's like, you have the shoulder boulders and you have this, like those are the biggest tells of somebody doing something a little bit extra. And Derrick Henry's always been large, but I've seen Derrick Henry before and I don't think he's ever looked quite that large. He's looking like fucking, what's his face? Landry Jones. Who was the safety that was like around for a while? Not Jarvis Landry. Somebody with Landry in their name, though, who had like arms that looked like they were the synthol injection arms. those guys, those are the ones you got to watch out for a little. But Derrick Henry's made enough money that, like, obviously, I would imagine if he wants to get dirty urine, he can find ways to make it clean. Anyway, 1462 here. Baker Mayfield goes to Brown Oops, who needed a third QB and has no correlation. So we will not get Baker on the cheap, even though that was the play we were trying to hit. Always feels great to see that in a room. I will take Will Levis here for the correlation with Calvin Ridley. Not my favorite play in the world, but again, we got sniped on Baker. So even in a Pete room, we're getting sniped on third QBs. Our guy's taking a third QB that has no correlation to him. Feels great. Laron Landry, prize go to Spurious News. That is it. Actually, Nathan got it too. Laron. Big plans for the eclipse. I'm going to go outside my little glasses, look and see if I see anything. One of my best friends is actually going to Erie. His wife talked him into going, taking their two-year-old as well, who's a little bit older than Luca, like a month older than my kid, Luca, to Erie, because that's like, I guess, where the totality, one of the places you can see. 250,000 people expected to go to Erie, Pennsylvania today, which, I don't know about you guys. I think an eclipse, cool concept. Saw one when I was in grade school through the pinhole in a paper thing. I cannot imagine willingly traveling to go somewhere where you know there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people who, frankly, probably not my kind of people. They're also going to see an eclipse in person somewhere, you know. But if you see it outside your house, great. You know, I'm happy to do that. 2462 here. This team needs help at running back. Honestly, Bucky Irving being a top 30 visit for Dallas still stands out to me. I think he still has a shot to be a good outcome. And frankly, he's a guy that I believed in enough analytically. Some nice stuff coming out about Oregon. If you guys are wondering ever about why I talk so kindly about Bo Nix, watch the Hayden Winks and Josh Norris video where they break down Bo Nix's film and talk about him. That'll give you a lot more faith in Bo Nix and also a little better understanding of this Oregon offense and how it performed so well, where we did see Bucky Irving be a top analytic player, even though athletically, of course, bombed the shit out of the combine with his RAS performance. But he looked great analytically last year. Troy Franklin looked great analytically last year. Bo Nix looked great analytically last year. I think that these guys were still a little bit undervalued. And if it comes down to me taking another share of Roshan, who just the situation's so much worse for him with them paying big money for DeAndre Swift. Same thing for Khalil Herbert, who's still on the Bears roster. I don't even know why. Feels like they should just cut him, give him a shot to go somewhere else, but maybe that'll happen later in the draft offseason, or in the offseason rather, or maybe even during the draft. But I think for them, I know what they are. Bucky Irving, I think, is still a mystery box. And if he goes to Dallas, like, and he's Tony Pollard, I think he'll be a better Tony Pollard in terms of the pass game work, if not the overall work. Bucky, your number one exposure running back. Look, I got spooked off by the Athletic stuff a little bit, which I shouldn't. And I think it's one of those things in my process that I don't know how to weigh the things where you guys know the first videos I do of the year are the rookie videos, looking at the advanced analytics for Sports Info Solutions, digging in on the EPA metrics and trying to find out who's average, who's good, who's above average, all that stuff. For me, I think that the Athletic things spooked me off of both Estime and Bucky Irving enough. And I don't know that they should have. I think I should have been taking them at a discount. I don't know that I should go crazy on the exposure for him. But I wonder, we're going to know the results this year. But like, part of me thinks that poor athletic testing, if you have guys that are athletically sound or analytically sound, is kind of an exploit to take advantage of, just because if you buy those guys on the way down, because everybody else is like, oh, this guy's not fast enough, but the guy's a performer, and you know that they hit the field, and they're going to show something in practice because they were so good in college and they were able to produce at a high level. I wonder to me if not prioritizing Bucky and Estime is a flaw. But that's the hive mind part of this stuff that I think can be hard if you are kind of in the bubble like I am, and like any of you guys watching a best ball draft video in April are. So like Marshawn Lloyd, yes, I love Marshawn Lloyd. He had great athletic testing, and he's the most effective avoid a tackle guy in the draft in the pass game as well as the run game. So yeah, he's great. Jalen Wright's my number one Estime is my second running back. I mean, Jalen Wright, I guess the good news for him is that he's likely to go somewhere good. The bad news is like he's been most linked to the Rams and being the guy they bring in to kind of take some pressure off. Fucking Estime goes here. Take some pressure off of Kyren Williams. So if he's going behind Kyren, you know, taking some touches away, a positive, but does come a little bit of risk. All right, we have a 2-5-6-2 here. I mean, I need a third QB. I think I need a third QB. Are these guys going to take another one? These guys also need a third QB, I think. I am going to go with J.J. McCarthy here. He's on the thumbnail number one, and I think it's pretty clear now. He's going to be going top four, which I've said for months now, looking better and better for him to go top three. I don't know that him going to the Patriots is like the nut outcome for him, even though that's probably the best like culture fit for a guy like J.J. McCarthy. But I'm going to take McCarthy here, and then, again, assume that maybe he or Jaden can get Ladd as a guy that gets drafted with him. Oodles Estime and took him before anyone said his name. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, Thomas, our guy Chad Candles, who takes Estime. Am I the only crazy person taking Boyd? I don't know if it's a crazy person. It's not looking great for him, though. Again, in a class, you have a bunch of slot guys. Boyd not going anywhere yet. Because he was like linked to Pittsburgh at one point, and then they didn't go his way. That's not a great sign for him. And for Boyd, I don't even know what the best outcome for him is at this point. Kind of hints of like a wide receiver version of Kareem Hunt, Zeke, Leonard Fournette last year is what I would say for Tyler Boyd. All righty, 3-5-6-2 here. As we talked about before, not into handcuffs. Do you think that ambiguous backfield still a thing to target? Miles Sanders in an ambiguous backfield. Is he better than Chuba Hubbard? I don't think so. But Chuba himself is also not great. So it's a bet we're willing to make on Carolina here, even though not the sexiest pick, but for an RB6, Miles Sanders will do. Team so far, a 3-6-6-2. We have Jaden Daniels, Will Levis, J.J. McCarthy. And running back, we have Rashad White, Javonte Williams, Austin Eckler, Marshawn Lloyd, Bucky Irving, Miles Sanders. Wide receiver, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett. And tight end, unequivocally the best part of the team, tight end Trey McBride, Brock Bowers. I think the team works. Wish I had a little more penciled in correlation, to be honest. I believe that fundamentally Jaden Daniels can give me a floor and a ceiling at QB, but obviously if somebody gets right Jaden, or if even I get right in my portfolio, Jaden going to Washington, you then have Jaden with McLaurin, you have Jaden with Zach Ertz or somebody else, a tight end you think that they can take. I think that there's ways that you have a better team than I'll have with just Jaden naked. That's it. It's a filthy wide receiver room. Thank you. I feel like, again, it's really easy to just not load up on wide receiver early, as long as you know the guys you should be hitting. And to me, like Ladd and Xavier Leggett are two guys that I'd be comfortable hitting. Other guys, if you want to try to build like this one, Tez Walker's finally coming up. He's been undervalued this entire time as a good athletic testing guy who commanded a lot of air yards, but you know, wasn't that great with it, to be honest. but still a good player there in terms of the athletic testing and the fact that he's a boundary receiver, a field stretcher. The poor man's A.D. Mitchell in this draft would be a guy like him. Malik Washington, I think another guy I'd be willing to add to a, I didn't get enough early wide receivers. I have to make it up with guys who have talent. Malik Washington, a slot guy, earned very big targets per out run, 35% target per out run rate at Virginia. The downside, it was at Virginia where there wasn't the biggest target competition. Malik Washington would be another guy I would say to add if you are trying to cobble together a wide receiver room late. What seems my looking forward to starting drafting stacks once QB's locked in? Jaden's number one for me. Man, this guy, Funk Master Jesus here, I feel like might be a low-key splash play guy. Took Troy Franklin, took Malik Washington, Brendan Rice here. Brendan Rice, of course, the best bailout at wide receiver you can have. But yeah, any of the rookies would be it. Besides that, I guess if we see another piece added to Chicago, another piece added to Tennessee, that changes the way that we're treating Calvin Ridley right now and DeAndre Hopkins, or the way we're treating DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Or especially like for tight end, where if the Bears take Brock Bowers, I don't know what you do with that. Like, I think the Bears are going to take one more big weapon at pick 9, even though they should take an offensive lineman if they can, or even a defensive player if they can. But I think for them, they're bringing in too many guys. There's like too much smoke for Chicago adding one more weapon, which will be good for Caleb, but not great for fantasy, I would think. Brendan Rice reminds me of Jerry Rice. Not sure where he got the comp from. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy how that works out. All right, let's make our pick here. Some interesting chats to talk about. Zach Ertz would be an okay pick for me, but obviously he goes the pick before me. Now we're in an RB pocket here. Yeehaw. Wide receiver, really. Those guys taking some of my favorite rookies really fucks me up at wide receiver. I'm not a big Will Shipley guy. Enough people I like are into Will Shipley. Had an okay pro day. Analytically, was not that good. I think that he is a mind trick for people that want Christian McCaffrey because he looks like McCaffrey, but analytically did not get the results of McCaffrey. Shipley last year, because I do like pointing out the numbers for guys we don't talk about a lot. Shipley had negative 0.06 EPA per rush. 16% stuff run rate is not good. 16% avoided tackle rate is not good. 0.173 EPA per target is okay for him. So maybe that's the hope, is like he's got a shot to be a Dylan Labbe type of player. But Shipley to me, I'm only taking him because I need a running back and we are at 7. And frankly, I have enough Dobbins. Don't want Madison. Don't really want Pierce. Don't really want Zeke. Don't really want Dylan. Tyler catching up with the Sean piece for a guy Jay earlier. Guy Jaden. Sean's a POS who also played like shit and then hurt his throwing shoulder and doesn't feed tight ends. So there you go. All the cases against Deshaun. Really think Chicago wants to trade down from 9, but who will buy? I just don't think you bring in every top like skill position guy who can go at 9 unless they're going to stay at 9. But maybe that's a smoke signal. It could be them trying to get some trade capital, but fuck it. I was going to take Johnny Wilson. Nobody ever takes Johnny Wilson. The one time I need to bail myself out at wide receiver, somebody takes Johnny Wilson. All right. So you guys are going to see my bailout wide receiver kit here. I think A.T. Perry is a bailout wide receiver at this point, over a 1 flat EPA last year per target. My favorite play that he had last year is the one where Carr got hurt. Jameis Winston came in. Jameis, in classic Jameis Winston fashion, threw a ball in the red zone from the opposite side of the field. It's A.T. Perry, who went up and made a crazy jump ball play to save Jameis on an aggressively awful play that Jameis is making. I think that A.T. Perry has some juice. A.T. Perry, in this room, he's going to be my guy. Burks, yeah, I guess. I'm like a little bit blind to Burks and also annoyed enough that Johnny Wilson went, that it threw me for a loop. But yeah, I probably should have taken Burks too. Personally, I think I'd rather have A.T. Perry than Burks. But yes, for the correlation, Burks will be in play if he comes back. People keep saying that he did nothing. He's been great. He was a better player than Keon Coleman was. The only reason people say that is because of the fact that everybody really wants me to take Burks. The only room in fantasy football that people draft Burks. Hopefully he will come back my way. We'll see. But yeah, point being, for Wilson, people have said the tight end thing. He doesn't want to play tight end. He was better analytically than Keon Coleman was. He is big. That's the flaw. Don't think he can have a full complement of routes as a wide receiver because of being so big, much like a Darnell Washington at tight end last year. But for him, still want to take the shot. I didn't get him, but I'm willing to take the shot. I don't need a third tight end. And frankly, there's enough of a shot that we get Brock Bowers to Tennessee that would also upset the Chig thing pretty well. Johnny Will says a 9.9 RAS, if I remember, elite RAS. He does have an elite RAS. The issue is that he, you know, is so big that there isn't a lot of comps, I think, that would make it make sense for him. But yes, he does have an elite RAS as well. Yeah, that's it. Not many 8 foot tall. He's 6'7". He's like, his best comp is, if you guys remember, Colin Johnson, who had a moment looking good for the Jags, also was kept hanging around the Giants. Might still actually be on the Giants depth chart, or at least for portions of last year, I think he still was. Colin Johnson is the best equivalent where he had something going for himself. He's still not a bad player, but, you know, a little too big maybe to get out there reliably. We will see. His best comp is Zach Eddy. Yeah. Poor Zach can't make any NIL money because he's Canadian. The Canadians apparently get screwed in the NIL process, which I did not know. All right, what's Brown Oops doing? These guys all have a lot of wide receivers, and then Brown Oops is still taking a 10th. So I'm hoping we won't get fucked here by the last two. Let's come on, guys. He's going to get drafted. At the very least, he gets drafted like a Luka Garza. He's going to get drafted. Hey, guys, look, free Treylon Burks here. Round 20 Treylon. We close it out here, as was the play all along. My final team here, a 3-7-8-2. Jaden Daniels, Will Levis, J.J. McCarthy. It's okay, QB production, but again, when you draft the rookies, you got to make a bet on a team, I think, and I didn't do that well here. Rashad White, Javonte Williams, Austin Eckler, Marshawn Lloyd, Bucky Irving, Miles Sanders, Will Shipley at running back. Wide receiver, we've got Tyreek, Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett, A.T. Perry, and Treylon Burks. Perfectly okay with that wide receiver room. And tight end, we never touched again after drafting the elite tight ends, Trey McBride and Brock Bowers. There we go. Garza was a second-round pick. He's going to get drafted, and Garza has played and is still hanging around the G League. That's like the worst-case outcome for Zach Eddy, but he's going to go somewhere. He's too high usage, too high of a rebound rate. Like, he does enough of everything. He'll get a shot, but, you know, those guys, the athletic profile probably not going to be that great. All right, guys, there's our draft for today. So we'll be back tomorrow with another one. Did not do plugs well today because, again, my head's not here all the way. Whenever I have to work a lot on a weekend day, I feel like it just fucks me up. Use the promo code SPLASH and Underdog. Double your deposit up to $100 on there. Probably is my baby as well. The worst day we've ever had, by the way, was on Friday. So the good news is when I do the content picks in a moment here, when I do a new video coming up in a little bit, probably going to be a run good of historical levels coming up, because that's how betting works. When you have one really bad day, especially when you are using market data, eventually it's going to bounce back because you have to hit that underlying ROI that we have, just 12-20% per sport ROI. So something to keep in mind there. Check out Probably right now. Really, that is, it's so stupid, but like legitimately that is a thing where we lost bad on Friday. I would bet that if you go on Probably this week, you're probably going to find some outlier days because that is the push-pull of market data and betting. But check it out for yourself. Promo code SPLASH on there to get half off your first month or even your first year. Stochastic, the Masters coming up this weekend. I know I'll be putting in a few lines for the PGA this weekend here, so check it out. Use Stochastic's data for yourself, 15% off the promo code SPLASH, or check the link in the description to get a membership on there. They also have NBA data, of course, PGA, MLB right now. Their guys have won a short game, or actually a regular of ours, I think, has won 2 MLB tournaments within the last week using Stochastic's tools and data, so check it out. Of course, all these fine folks helping put on the show, you too can get your name on here, get access to a premium Discord, also just more premium perks coming up here, including the Spags rankings after the NFL draft. So hit that join button down below, $4.99 a month for all of that. Game responsibly, and here's Daffy Duck masturbating. And that's how it goes, guys. Follow me at Chris Spags. Follow the show at Splash Play Pod. Don't forget, by the way, with Probably, 5 stars and a review. Leave it on the Probably App Store description there. If you want to be entered to win a guest hosting spot, I'll be giving away our next Splash Play guest hosting spot a week from today, next Monday, the 15th. So if you want to be a guest host on Splash Play, make sure to give 5 stars and a review to Probably right now. And I'll be back tomorrow with more. So subscribe, hit that like button. Drafts every day here, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Even if I'm in a tired mood, I show up here and build some sick teams, and that is always the goal. So please do subscribe. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. So I'll see you guys then. Enjoy your days. Good luck. Shout out to the chat too. Appreciate you guys being here. Bye.